One of the most important things that God has ever taught me is that you cannot be tempted with something that you don't think. I tell you, that is a profound truth, and I'm going to expound on that today. It'll help you, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing my series talking about a hardened heart. We've talked about what is a hardened heart, what causes a hardened heart. It's not only sin, but just a preoccupation, a focus upon anything except the Lord will cause your heart to become more dominated by or more sensitive to whatever you're focused on. And the sad fact is that we have been so focused on the natural realm, not necessarily sin, but just natural things, that we have been sensitized to the natural realm and desensitized to the spiritual realm. Now that is an oversimplification nearly, but in a nutshell, that's what we've been talking about. And I tell you, that is a powerful, powerful truth. Let me share with you today, this is one of the most important things that I feel that the Lord has ever spoken to me. This is something that I use in my life constantly, and it's just another way of saying what I've been trying to say for the last week about how that your heart becomes sensitive to what you're focused on and insensitive to what you fail to focus on. And the problem has been that we've been more focused upon the natural things of this world than we have been the supernatural things of God. Therefore, we are getting more natural results than we're getting supernatural results. And here is a principle that the Lord taught me that when I say this, it's going to sound too simple to be true. It's like there's got to be more complication to this. But this is one of the greatest truths that I feel that God has ever spoken to me. I'll just make this statement and then we'll go to some scripture and verify this and explain it to you. But here's, in a nutshell, one of the greatest truths that God ever spoke to me. And that is that you cannot be tempted with anything that you don't think. You can't be tempted with anything that you don't think. And I believe I could even go into more specifics and say, you can't be tempted with anything that you don't think about a lot or focus on. Now, that's a strong statement. And if that be true, and I'm going to show you some scriptures that I believe verifies this, and we're going to illustrate this through a number of scriptural examples. If it be true that you can't be tempted with anything you don't think upon, then the key to overcoming temptation has to begin with the way you think. And if you would begin to start thinking upon godly things and focused upon the Lord and fail to think upon the ungodly things of this world, then temptation would cease to have the draw and the dominance in your life that it probably does right now. Man, that is a wonderful statement. There's a lot of people I know, Christians, who love God and they want to serve God, but they are just plugged into this world. They watch the same things that their unsaved neighbors watch. They listen to the same news. They read the same papers. They have basically the same exposure to the trash, to the sewage of this world that is flowing by that their unsaved neighbor has, and then they wonder why they don't get different results. Because they believe that God has something better for them. But it's just that simple adage, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you fill yourself with is what's going to come out of you. And it doesn't have to be just out and out sin, total rebellion towards God. Just be preoccupied with the things of this world. And I guarantee you that preoccupation with the natural realm will draw you towards those things. Now, here's some scriptures that will verify what I'm talking about. This is out of Hebrews chapter 11. For those of you that are familiar with this, this is what's often called the Hebrews Hall of Faith. It's talking about all these people, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, all of these people who lived and died and obtained faith and are examples. And so it's talking about all of them. And in verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." Now, this is specifically talking about Abraham and Sarah, the people that God called from Ur of the Chaldees and told them to go out and that he would show them a land which they and their seed would later inhabit. And this happened in Genesis chapter 11. The story begins there. And then in chapter 12 is when it starts in earnest. At that time, Abraham was 75 years old. Abraham died when he was 175 years old. So for 100 years, Abraham sought God, followed God. There were some wonderful things that happened in his life, but he didn't obtain this promise personally. All he ever owned, the only land that he ever owned in what we call Israel today, was just a cave and the valley, or they called it the dale, I guess it was, where that cave was located. He bought that to bury his wife and for his own burial place. That's the only land that he ever really owned in the land of Israel. It was his children 430 years later that came back and took over the promised land, and the promise was fulfilled then. So this is what this is talking about. And when Abraham and Sarah were called by God, they were told to leave Ur of the Chaldees, which was down in what is today modern day Iraq around Babylon. And they left that area and came into the promised land. And it says here that truly, in other words, this is a true statement. This is an accurate statement. And anytime the Bible has to qualify what it's saying by saying truly, then the reason it's doing that is because this seems like such a bold statement, such a strong statement that some people might think, well, I'm not sure that that applies in every situation. So the Bible will say truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you. In other words, what it's trying to do is validate that regardless of how hard this may be to understand, this is an accurate statement. So he says, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. This is linking their opportunity to go back on what God had told them to do to what they were thinking. That's what the word mindful means. It means your mind full of something. And if they had been mindful, if their mind had been focused upon what they left, they would have been tempted to go back. For them, going back to Ur of the Chaldees would have been temptation, because God told them to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to leave their father's house, forsake all of their acquaintance, and totally make a break and then go out and inherit this land. So for them, going back would have been temptation. And this is so clear. This is a strong statement. I know that many of you have probably read this verse, Hebrews 11:15, and have just looked at it as kind of a conjunction, a filler between two other subjects or something, and you've gone right on by it and hadn't thought about it. But think about this. This is a strong statement. It says, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You could turn this verse around and say it this way, that if they weren't mindful of the country that they came out of, well, then they wouldn't have opportunity to return. If one is true, the other has to be true. And what this is saying, basically, to boil it down into a succinct statement that you can retain, it's just saying that you can't be tempted with what you don't think. Now, that is profound. That is one of the greatest things that God's ever spoken to me. You can't be tempted with something that you don't think. So instead of allowing all of these thoughts to come to you that breed temptation, that provide a fertile bed for temptation, and then allow that temptation to be planted and try and weed it out and kill it before it brings forth its fruit and causes you to do something wrong, a better way to approach temptation is to learn how to avoid being tempted. And the way you avoid being tempted is by controlling the way you think. That's what this is saying. Now let's go back again and look at Abraham and Sarah. In their case, God told them to forsake Ur of the Chaldees to come into there. Now, if they would, as they came into the land of Israel, did you know they experienced a lot of hardship? They were not residents of the land. They were rejected by people. There was times that Abimelech came and actually asked Abraham to leave his country and to get away because Abraham was so prosperous. He was overwhelming their economy. And so he was told to leave certain times. His nephew was taken captive and Abraham had to go fight a battle to recover his nephew and all of those kings of the cities that they lived in. Abraham had a lot of hardships, a lot of hard times. You know, sometimes following God and doing what God tells you to do is not the easiest road to go. It's always the best road to go, but it's not necessarily the easiest. Lots of time there's opposition. And what this is saying is that if Abraham would have gotten discouraged, if he would have been looking at the hardships, and if he would have allowed himself just to think, you know what, back in Ur of the Chaldees, I was a very prosperous man. I had relatives and families that had all of these assets, these houses and lands built up. And why am I doing this? Why am I wandering through a place and living in a tent and have no certain place to dwell when I could go back and be one of the wealthiest men, a man of prominence, a man probably that has influence in doing all of these things? See, if he would have gone to making those comparisons and thinking about how wonderful it was back in Ur of the Chaldees, how hard it is back in the land of Israel, if he would have been making those comparisons, this is saying he would have had opportunity to have returned. He would have been tempted to go back. But because Abraham didn't think that way, then Abraham wasn't even tempted to go back. Abraham kept looking forward to what God had promised to him. And there's other scriptures I'm going to use, Romans chapter 4, and it says that he looked at him that had promised and counted him faithful, and so he was able to endure. Abraham was looking at the promises, not the problems. He wasn't looking back, thinking about how that some other way would be easier. I've got a lot more to share about this. I'm going to have to continue this on our programs next week, so I encourage you to join me on Monday. But also listen as our announcer gives you this information about how you can receive these tapes.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request TK58B titled The Cause Part 2 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net.
I'd like to give you an invitation to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It starts on Monday, June the 28th, and goes through Friday, July the 2nd. We also have morning services from 8 till noon on Tuesday through Friday, and our Bible college instructors will be ministering there. We're going to have a special CBC reception and an opportunity to be a part of our Caris Bible College. We've also got children's ministry for every age. It's just going to be a great time for the entire family at a beautiful time in Colorado Springs. So that's June the 28th through July the 2nd, our Summer Family Bible Conference. We encourage you to come and be a part of it.